You have tuned into Get Connected. I'm your host, Mike Agarbo. I've got a great program today, and I'm going to be joined by Carmi Levy as well out of Toronto to help go through some of the tech stories. We are Canada's number one tech radio program. We will be chatting with the folks at TELUS Home Security. This is a really interesting group of folks that can help automate and secure your house. They've got all sorts of great tech, and the nice thing is they can also monitor it and help you get it set up and look after it as well. So you've got kind of just one group to go to. And we're going to be announcing a special contest with those folks. And speaking of contests, we're still working with the TELUS Health My Pet app folks, giving away an iPhone 15 and an Xbox. That's really cool. And if you want to get extra entries, we have a secret word at the end of the show, so you're going to have to stay tuned. If you want to enter, getconnectedmedia.com. Carmi, thanks for joining us on the program.
Awesome to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Today's show, we will also be talking later on about the OpenAI drama. And what drama it is. They have fired their CEO, then they brought him back. They're the folks that make ChatGPT, which is one of the most popular AI tools out there. So we're going to kind of break that down for you and what it means for humanity. But let's get into some of the tech news stories this week, Carmi. This was kind of an interesting one for me. It revolves around Samsung, and they've announced a new Galaxy AI feature that can translate phone calls in real time. How does that work?
This is a wicked piece of technology. It's almost like it's if you've ever used Google Assistant, where you ask it a question and it answers you. It's kind of like that. Just it will translate language in real time. So basically, it's under the Galaxy AI umbrella, which they are going to be introducing across their lineup on their new phones next year. So if you're going to be in the market early next year for, say, a Galaxy S24, which will be introduced around then, it will be included on that hardware. And it's part of the actual service that they're talking about. It's called AI Live Translate Call. It'll be built into the phone app, and basically it'll allow audio and text translations to appear on the screen in real time as you speak. And all of that processing will happen on the device. So you won't have to wait for it to connect with a server remotely. It'll all happen on the device, which means real time. So you can walk into, you could be traveling in an area where you literally do not know the language. You could, in theory, use this device to walk your way through or call somebody who doesn't speak your language and have a full back and forth, full duplex conversation with them, and sound like you know what you're talking about, even though you've never spoken that language before. Again, it's announced. They have not put it in the hands of anyone to actually see how it works. So I can't wait to get my hands on it, because I'd love to be able to try it out. Right now, we're taking it on faith that the announcement is going to be borne out by a tool that actually works. But again, we're waiting to actually get our hot little hands on it, roll up our sleeves, and put it through its paces.
So when you say real time, what does that mean? Is it translating as I'm talking, or does it wait for me to finish talking and then say, the Spanish version of Mike? What Mike said?
I would pay money to hear that.
Right.
By the way,
right.
But presumably it allows you to skip a beat, so it's line by line. And again, because we haven't seen an actual demo of it, it's kind of hard to tell. But I would guess that it would be like a paragraph of text. So for example, you speak a paragraph or you speak an extended sentence, it pauses, translates it, spits it out, you continue. So there may be a bit of sort of staccato like pausing and back and forth. It might be a little techy, almost a bit robotic at first. But if you think about the alternative, think about the technologies that we use today to kind of stumble our way through trying to communicate with people who don't speak our language. This will be a significant leap compared to what we've already got on our phones, which quite frankly allows us to translate short sentences or maybe a word here and there, but isn't really set up for conversations. This promises conversational level translation that is much smoother, if not perfectly smooth, but certainly smoother than what we've already got.
This sounds like Star Trek technology, like the universal communicator that the Star Trek characters use.
It kind of does, and I remember watching Star Trek as a kid and not really appreciating what was going on in the background, that these people could communicate so seamlessly. You didn't even realize that they were speaking a different language, that it, the technology was insulating us from that reality. I don't think that Samsung's AI live translate call is going to quite reach that level. But what's important here is that every time we have a new announcement, whether it's from Samsung, whether it's from Google or Apple, they tend to move the bar. And this is going to move the bar pretty far. And it'll get us that much closer to, you know, the Star Trek communicator. Maybe we're not there yet, but we are closer now than we've ever been. And I think that's pretty exciting.
We're going to have to take a break. We have so much to talk about on today's program. We'll also be chatting with the folks at Kabam Games. They've got a new First Nations character for their Marvel Contest of Champions mobile game. It's a really cool story behind this. We'll also be talking about the OpenAI ChatGPT drama that's unfolded this past week and what it means for mankind. You're listening to Get Connected here on the Chorus Radio Network. Back after this. You are back with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here in studio. We're going to talk security now. We talk a lot about cybersecurity, but I want to get a little bit into, I guess, physical and home security. We've got a really great guest with us today from TELUS, and we're going to be talking about the TELUS home security. His name is Aaron Harburn. Thanks for joining us, Aaron.
Mike, thanks so much for having me.
I think a lot of folks know you guys. Obviously, you've been around for many, many years in Canada, you know, from the mobile perspective with cellular plans. And also out west, you know, we have Optik TV or TELUS TV. But, you know, kind of recently over the past few years, you've got into the smart home security. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. We've gone into TELUS, into security from a TELUS perspective. You know, our TELUS smart home security services are an all-in-one system that gives you and your home an automation of all your security devices and monitoring under a customizable plan. It helps keep your home safe while making your everyday life a little less complicated.
It's interesting. I mean, technology, I think, has helped this realm quite a bit, you know. How do you see this this connected life now, you know, when it comes to security?
Well, it's absolutely true. Like we live in an increasingly connected world where the proliferation of connected devices is really happening all around us. And we believe that it's key to helping solve some of the true challenges that we have today, like making your life just a little bit easier or driving energy savings or peace of mind for Canadians. And what we're seeing is that the increased number of devices and the desire for simplification and compatibility for these devices continues to grow. However, we also know that consumers are growing increasingly frustrated with the number of applications required to manage their electronics, and especially the lack of compatibility. The data supports these challenges. Nearly two-thirds of consumers are concerned about smart devices not working together, and half of Canadians associate smart technology with having challenges of setup. It's not an environment that truly delivers on the smart home promise. And today, I'm excited to be here with you talking about how TELUS is leveraging the technology in home security and automation, both now and in the future, to make the lives of Canadians easier, more efficient, and their families and communities a little safer.
I mean, I think you brought up some good points there. Like, I'm an Uber nerd. I love smart home stuff. I'm sure you do as well. But, you know, because there's so many different manufacturers and different devices, they don't always play nice together. And, you know, sometimes the setup's a little, you know, challenging. And, you know, even as a nerd, it doesn't always work properly. So I guess... from a consolidation standpoint, so if someone goes with TELUS, you go in there and just you set the stuff and it just all works, right?
Yeah, we pride ourselves in simplifying that, Mike, for consumers. And I, you know, you probably have a really great perspective. I too am a self-professed nerd when it comes to technology. And even though I work at TELUS, I look at all the cool things that we're doing and are available to us. I would have nearly 15 different applications on my home on my phone to connect things in my home. And you're right. They don't always work together and they don't always you know, deliver the outcome that you know, we aspire or Canadians probably deserve.
What kind of devices do you guys support with what you offer?
Yeah, let me talk to you about a couple of the key features about our service. And we had, you know, tremendous success in the market. And since we launched our TELUS Smart Home Security Service, we've become the fastest growing and largest security and automation provider in Canada. And we're incredibly proud to have celebrated our millionth subscriber earlier this year. We've also been recognized as the most trusted home security provider in Canada for the second year in a row from the independent market research company BrandSpark. Canadians are looking for this simplification and customization of their smart technology through the combinations of capabilities like smart cameras and 24/7 monitoring, where Canadians can keep an eye on what's happening inside and outside their home, leveraging the latest video analytics that automatically identify the difference between people, animals, vehicles, allow you to set up virtual trip lines and cloud-based recordings. And it's all backstopped by around-the-clock professional monitoring service. Through one application on your phone and a touch of a button, you can lock and unlock doors. You can arm and disarm your systems. You can turn on and off lights. And you can turn up and down your thermostat. Just one easy click. We also help automate lighting, heating, and appliances, really allowing you to sort of set it and forget it and let the technology take care of the rest so that you can focus on what matters most. And maybe finally, Mike, the notifications and alerts that you can get from our system are incredibly valuable. It's a system that automatically learns your home's behaviors and personalizes the notifications for things like floods, fires, and break-ins, but can also detect unexpected behaviors like when you left the door or the windows open for an extended period of time. And like many of your listeners, I have school-aged kids, and one of my favorite features of our system is the ability to send me those alerts when my kids have returned home safe at the end of the day. It's a quick application message that just gives me the peace of mind that they've returned home safe and sound.
So setting this all up, as a nerd, do I have an option of setting this up myself? And if I'm not a nerd, you guys can come in and do it, right?
Absolutely. We have both options, Mike. We have affordable and very convenient self-installable options for our security service. And we also have trained technicians that can come to your home, evaluate your needs, and help make sure everything's up and running when they leave your premise.
It's interesting, you know, it's called TELUS Smart Home Security, but it's really kind of home automation as well, because like, you're talking smart locks and smart thermostats and stuff as well, right?
Absolutely. I think there's no substitute for the peace of mind that you get from a security system, Mike, but you know, TELUS really aspires to be in the home automation space. We believe that our technology can help simplify the lives for Canadians and make things just work a little bit better, all supported by the incredible customer service we really do pride ourselves as delivering.
Any new stuff coming up?
I'm glad you asked, Mike. We're actually really excited about the evolution of what's next in the TELUS home security space. And we've actually been very active in addressing some of the challenges we talked about, the multiple devices and the multiple applications in your home. We're actually currently developing our next generation platform, first device agnostic connected home solutions service that simplifies the installation, the setup, and the management of all your smart home devices across various manufacturers. We've started a partnership leveraging cloud technologies from Amazon Web Services, AWS, using things called zero-touch activation and ubiquitous control that will offer a seamless user experience, one that's truly plug-and-play and means that when you purchase a new light switch or light bulb from any manufacturer, it'll simplify the setup and you can use things like your existing voice assistants to discover new devices or by simply pressing a button on your phone. You can imagine that we're going to be able to create routines across all of the devices in your home, not just the ones you bought from the same manufacturer, to be able to personalize this in every home. And this could include things like viewing and answering, like your Ring doorbell camera on your Samsung TV, or having your Philips smart lights, come on and off as you enter your home. The possibilities are really endless from our perspective once the devices can work more seamlessly together in your home on a single interface. You know, we can think about how we're going to be able to make a meaningful difference on energy management, delivering health-type solutions throughout the home, and just really delivering on this promise of a smart home with a less friction-filled experience. And while it's still early days on our new development, we're really excited to be able to bring this to the market in the coming months.
We're talking with Aaron Harburn. He is with Telus Smart Home Security. Not just security, but I mean, home automation. And the cool thing again, Aaron, I think this is appealing to a lot of people. You guys support it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to have the headache of trying to figure this stuff all out on your own.
It's really core to our brand promise, Mike. You know, when people think about Telus, you think about what our brand stands for. It's about let's make the future friendly. And it means doing that together with consumers and supporting consumers along that journey. We really believe our role is about simplifying technology for the greater good of our customers, you know, our businesses and our communities.
So Aaron, what about the online safety or security aspect? What do you guys offer in that respect?
Yeah, Mike, around the holiday seasons, you know, we're continuing to look at ways that we can innovate and expand our portfolio to help protect Canadians, their families, their businesses and their communities. And in addition to our physical security services, we offer an online security service we call Telus Online Security. And it's included in all of our smart home security packages. And it's actually Canada's most comprehensive all-in-one protection for your identity, privacy, and devices. And that offers you kind of three things. First, we are continuously monitoring 24/7, you know, the threats that may exist on the internet, things like viruses, malware, malicious websites, to alert you to those. We are also continuously scanning the dark web for your personal and financial information. And if we find it, we'll notify you that it's appearing in places where it shouldn't. And if the worst should happen to you in terms of, you know, financial or personal information theft, we actually have a dedicated team that will walk you through a restoration process to help make sure your identity is fully restored and that your assets are protected. So that's on the online side of it, Mike.
We talked about online, we talked about protecting your home. What about personally as well, like from a physical aspect?
We've got the latest addition to our security portfolio, which is called Telus SmartWear Security. And SmartWear Security is a line of discrete personal security devices that are disguised like necklaces, bracelets, and keychains. And each one of them is equipped with a hidden button that can instantly text your GPS location to register users, and it can connect to our 24/7 monitoring team, where our trained personnel and agents will call you back, check in to make sure things are okay with you. And if they're not, we can notify emergency services based on your location and the situation that may be unfolding around you. And both our online security and our SmartWear security services are really ideal for the holiday season, helping Canadians stay better protected, whether they're traveling or visiting loved ones, or they're more active with their shopping and online transactions, or they're simply coming home in the darker winter hours. We're here with services to help make Canadians safer.
Where can people find out more information about some of the things they can do in their home now?
Always the best place to find us is online, Mike. You can head to telus.com/smarthome on any browser and find the latest and greatest of what we're offering.
Thanks for joining us, Aaron.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
When we come back from the break, more tech to talk. Stay tuned.
You are back with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here in studio. We're going to talk mobile gaming, which is a multi-billion dollar industry worldwide. It just blows me away at how much content is out there and how many people are actually playing, you know, some fantastic games on their smartphones and tablets. We're going to have a look at a Vancouver company now and a really popular game called Marvel Contest of Champions, and they've introduced a First Nations character, which I think is pretty cool. So I had to have them on the show to just talk about this. We've got one of their senior designers, Justin Austinson from Kabam. Thanks for joining us, Justin.
Hello, thank you, and you know, thank you for having me.
Before we get into the game, tell the listeners just a little bit about Kabam. It's a Vancouver-based company, from what I understand, and you guys have been punching out some good content.
Yeah, so Kabam's based out of Vancouver, like you said, right out of the downtown core, as a matter of fact. We just opened up a new studio right in the heart of downtown. Beautiful new space out there. We've been operating on Contest of Champions for... Boy, we're coming up on our 9-year anniversary. Wow. This December, and we've been operating out of Vancouver for a couple years longer than that.
How big's the company now? Like, how many people have you guys got?
We're
dozens, hundreds,
several hundreds.
Oh wow! Okay,
spread across several, because Kabam also has some studios out in PEI and Quebec, I believe, and then one in Austin that helps support us as well. So yeah, a few hundred people spread across all the continent.
Very, very cool. So Marvel Contest of Champions, you know, it's a game that you can download for your iPhone or your Android phone. What is the overall premise of the game? Obviously, you know, people love Marvel characters like Captain America and Spider-Man. So what's happening in this game?
So in this game, the player gets to take on the role of the summoner, who is basically collecting all of these different heroes from across different realities. So we've got, I think, 260 collectible characters in the game now, from, like you said, Spider-Man, the Hulk, to Venom, to even weird ones like Howard the Duck is a character in our game.
Howard the Duck?
Yeah, Howard the Duck. He's got this cool mech suit that we gave him to, you know, have him stand a chance in the fights. And so, yeah, players get to fight against their favorite heroes and villains, and, you know, they can team up with their friends and, you know, join alliances to take on bigger fights together, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
So what was interesting to me, just besides, you know, what a great Canadian success story for a game developer, is you've introduced a First Nations character. I believe her name is Chi'ilth. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Chi'ilth.
And so what was the idea behind that?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, the fans, you know, reached out to us about how excited they were that we were talking about putting some other First Nations heroes into the game. And so we started looking at some stories that we could tell that don't often get a chance to be told. And, you know, I started working with Marvel to basically pitch them a brand new character based around some stories that, when I had been doing my research of First Nations heroes, just hadn't been told before. Things involving, you know, some tougher parts of our history, the 60 scoop, and, you know, the very complicated history around that. And also, you know, we didn't get a chance in, you know, before to tell a history of the Salish people on the West Coast. You know, this character is proudly Skateen First Nations with, you know, some history and some art from the Squamish Nation, as well as Tla'amin up near Powell River. And, you know, Marvel loved the character as we developed her. They were excited to do something so authentic and interesting, and we've been running with it ever since.
That must have taken some effort. You know, from what I understand, First Nations don't typically have like a written history. It's more oral. So it's not like you're going up on the internet and searching Wikipedia for this. Like, how did you get into that research?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was one of the first things that Marvel identified, was like, get the experts on hand immediately.
Don't make stuff up.
yeah, exactly. Like, let's make sure we're doing this right. So we reached out to the Squamish Lillooet Cultural Center, and we eventually got in touch with the curator there, Allison Pascal. And so she was a touchstone for us, like right from the very beginning. You know, she knew the artwork, the history, the culture, and she also helped us get in contact with an artist from the nation as well, Austin Harry. So he actually designed the tattoos that Chi'ilth has, and he also designed the designs that you see on her spirit protectors, Brother Grizzly and Sister Eagle. She actually has like designs that are from the nation itself. And then in addition to that, we also wanted an expert regarding the 60 scoop specifically. So I started doing some independent research, and I eventually found Linda Epp, who is a First Nations expert from actually the downtown East Side, is where she originally worked out of. And so she's quite the expert on the 60 scoop. And so with these experts, and actually, quite frankly, a couple more, we, you know, reached out to them. We got the character in front of them. They gave us a ton of feedback on everything from visual look to power ideas to history of, you know, the various artworks. And we took that feedback, we updated the character, sent it back to them again. And then it kind of just kept doing that for almost a full year, really, until we were confident that, you know, we did the character right. And then Marvel gave us the thumbs up, and we entered full production.
I just find it fascinating, and I have to, you know, tip my hat to you guys and gals. The character is great looking. I wouldn't want to meet her in any time type of fight. But what's interesting, like what you said, it took a year. You know, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into creating, you know, these. I mean, that's just one character. You've already got the kind of the game going, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so, you know, don't get me wrong, not every character takes, you know, 2 full years in development like this. This is a, you know, an original character always takes a lot of extra time. But, you know, it can take, you know, almost a full year for a character to, you know, enter their development from very start to very finish. Because, you know, every step along the way, you have to get feedback, not just from Marvel, you know, the holders of the, you know, license, but also from the players, from the experts, the people who know these characters inside and out in this universe inside and out. And you got to take that feedback and you got to make fixes, you got to make changes, and then you got to, you know, keep doing it, making it better and better. And that's, quite frankly, the amount of time and effort that it takes to make something good.
We're talking with Justin Austinson. He is one of the senior designers over at Kabam Games. They're a Vancouver studio that has made a very popular mobile gaming called Marvel Contest of Champions, played by hundreds of millions of people around the world. How long have you been a designer, Justin?
So I've been a designer roughly about 9 years. I was actually very happy to be hired at Kabam a couple days after graduating from Vancouver Film School's game design program. And I've been a game designer ever since.
So, yeah, is that the simple path? You go to game school and I guess there's a huge demand for game designers. I mean, we're, you know, all playing them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now more than ever, there's more ways than ever to get into game design. Yeah, there is definitely game design schools. Right in Vancouver, we have the Vancouver Film School. They have a game design program that is an accelerated 1 year, which if you are willing to bust your hump for a year, you can definitely get into industry that way. Other schools definitely offer more traditional 4-year entry programs to, you know, get into it that way. But honestly, some people just go the route of making their own game, because, you know, there's plenty of free tutorials out there nowadays. There's plenty of free game engines that you can just start making your own game if you just want to do it. And honestly, any of those options could work out for you these days. That's pretty excellent.
But you did it in 1 year. Did you have any knowledge before then on making games?
I had like dabbled in making some board games for my friends and things like that. But apart from that, no, I basically went from have never written a line of code in my life to coding and, you know, making my own my own games and my own, you know, working on a final project that we got to show off at E3. So yeah, it was quite a transformative year.
You know, I just find it amazing just the quality of mobile games now. I mean, these are like console level games, especially on an iPhone, just with the power that, you know, they have you know, with their Bionic chips. What's the cost of the game itself?
You mean like to operate?
Like, is it a free download?
Oh, it's a, yeah. So it's a totally free download. There are in-app purchases if you want to like accelerate your account a lot. But one of the things that we do pride ourselves on is we don't paywall anything really. So if players just want to grind it out and come hang out in the game for free and never pay a dime, that's totally cool. We just want to have you come play.
We're talking about a new First Nation character. Her name is Chi'ilth. She is in the Marvel Contest of Champions, a great Apple iPhone app that you can download for free onto your phone. So now that this character is developed, will we see her in other Marvel incarnations outside of the video game world?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're really, really excited about for the first time ever, we're launching a comic alongside her release. So wow. There is a comic that Marvel was really, really cool. They've made the comic free for everybody. So you can check out a free link to if you want to see the Chi'ilth comic. It goes through her whole origin story and you get to see all about her powers, how she came to be Chi'ilth. So that was absolutely amazing. We got to work with Rebecca Roanhorse on that one. So absolutely amazing stuff. We also got to do a motion comic with Tantu Cardinal. Any First Nations, you know, film fans out there recognize that name almost immediately. So getting to work with her was great on it. But Marvel was very adamant about this character being available for, you know, what's called the 616 universe in Marvel, you know, kind of their main comic book universe. And, you know, if the character does well and the fans respond positively, you know, Marvel wants to push the character further and we definitely do. So, you know, we'll have to see come her release on November 30th if she's a big hit. And if she is, we want to push her as far as we can.
Justin, I want to thank you for joining us on the program today. Great chat.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor and a privilege.
We're talking all about the latest Marvel Contest of Champions. They've got a great new First Nation character in there that you've got to check out and play. A great Canadian story. Available on the App Store. When we come back from the break, more tech to talk. Stay tuned. You are back with Get Connected. Got my good friend Carmi Levy back with me here. Don't forget to enter the contest that we have going on. We have the TELUS Health My Pet app contest. This is a fantastic opportunity to enter and win an iPhone 15 or an Xbox. And if you've got a little furry one, you'll want to actually enter the TELUS contest as well. There's a link through our contest page where you can actually submit your pet photo for a chance to win their prize as well. GetConnectedMedia.com. And we've got a second contest starting up. It's TELUS Home Security Contest. And this one is fantastic as well. We have got all sorts of prizes happening with that particular one. And they all revolve around security. So that particular contest, again, has started this week. GetConnectedMedia.com. That prize package includes two indoor security cams, a doorbell cam, three smart light bulbs, and also a smartware security device, and a one-year subscription to the TELUS Smart Home Automation Plus plan. Again, getconnectedmedia.com. Carmi, the OpenAI drama this past week has been amazing. I have never seen anything like it. And for the listeners out there, OpenAI is the organization behind ChatGPT, which is one of the most popular, I guess, AI tools out there right now. I use it on a daily basis. You know, millions of people around the world do as well. OpenAI was formed back in 2015, kind of as a nonprofit, and they raised $1 billion very quickly. And basically, their motto was, you know, their aim is to build value for everyone rather than the shareholders. And as such, they basically set up their board with researchers and academics because, you know, they wanted to make sure that AI was reined in and you couldn't get out of control. But to raise more money, as you can imagine, nonprofits have a harder time. They set up a for-profit side. And through that, over the past you know, couple of years, they've raised additional money. And in fact, Microsoft has input $10 billion. But last week, they basically fired the CEO and one of the founders, Sam Altman, which was very surprising, Carmi.
Probably one of the most shocking sackings we've seen in a very long time. And quite frankly, it kicked off one of the easily the craziest story that I've seen come out of Silicon Valley in probably my entire time covering this space. You know, you have four different CEO announcements within the space of 5 days. two of them involving the essential Pied Piper of AI. I mean, Sam Altman is the guy who popularized AI by moving ChatGPT from the lab into the public domain, releasing it so that you and I and all of our listeners could use it. You know, if you want to know where AI is going and who's largely behind it, it's OpenAI that's really powering this revolution, and everyone else is kind of following their lead. So for Sam Altman to be shown the door without so much as a thank you or even much of an explanation, the board really did not explain why. They just left it to speculation. It was shocking and jarring, and it touched off just a flurry of back and forth that quite frankly is unprecedented. And I think it illustrates just how much of a revered individual this guy is, not just within OpenAI, where all of his employees, almost all of them, 700 of 778 apparently, threatened to quit if he wasn't reinstated and if the board wasn't replaced. But, you know, I think it illustrates just that, you know, what a role he is, or what an individual he is. He is to AI really what Steve Jobs was to the PC industry, a real visionary, a guy that everybody looks to, and essentially, if OpenAI wasn't going to have him, he was going to take his ball and go anywhere else. And so just an absolutely extraordinary period that I think illustrates a lot of the tensions that we've been seeing in the development of AI, this pitched battle between those who want to develop the technology as quickly as possible, move far ahead, kind of like the Meta, Facebook, you know, move fast and break things ethos, and, you know, people we call accelerationists, and then the doomsayers who essentially say we can't move too fast. Safety has to be paramount. We're worried what will happen if we lose control of this thing. Essentially, the accelerationists have won now that Mr. Altman is back. Now it's pedal to the metal once again.
It's interesting because he got sacked. Microsoft, who's invested $10 billion, they own 49% of the company. I think that was a huge surprise to them and probably freaked them out
that it
could happen so easily. I mean, in the end, they actually offered Sam and, you know, his team a job at Microsoft, which I guess freaked OpenAI out.
I think it did. I think it reinforced just what was at stake here, and it showed OpenAI just what a boneheaded move getting rid of Altman was. And I think, you know, Microsoft had the most to lose here. They've invested such a huge amount in this company, not only, you know, cracking open their checkbook and, you know, spending a huge amount of money within the last year on this company, but then taking all of their technology and essentially driving it into literally every product that they offer. So if you look at Microsoft's product line, you know, whether it's the Edge browser, whether it's Windows proper, you know, whether it's Office 365, the Bing search engine, they are all being ChatGPT-ified. They are all being updated with technology right from OpenAI. Microsoft is clearly betting its future on OpenAI's tech and also the company that provides that tech. So to receive, they didn't get much advance notice. They were just told very tersely right before the board acted last, you know, initially to get rid of Mr. Altman. They weren't told why. They weren't given any kind of opportunity to be part of the process, you know, even given their level of investment. They were essentially sidelined, which would have freaked them out. And quite frankly, I think even now, there is a level of mistrust from Microsoft that I think they will be a lot more careful about how they deal with OpenAI going forward, even though there is a new board for the most part, and Mr. Altman is back in. They are going to start looking at all the baskets they have and making sure that their eggs are distributed more clearly or more broadly across multiple baskets, not all in OpenAI. This is going to change the way Microsoft operates going forward because I'm sure they do not want to be caught flat-footed like they were here.
Carmi, I know there's other baskets, but compared to OpenAI, those are small little baskets right now.
They are, and that's kind of the problem, is that OpenAI is in such a dominant position. ChatGPT really is the one to beat at this point. Even Google and Amazon have been caught out in left field by just how aggressive and agile OpenAI has been in terms of building a base of support, a global network of users for their technology, and then monetizing, commercializing that technology as well, and building the partnerships that will see the technology distributed across the world and kind of grow into the operating system of the future. No one else is even close to that. Google has introduced Bard. Lord only knows where Amazon is. They've, you know, essentially sacked half of their Alexa division, and they're in somewhat discord. But you know, right now it's OpenAI's game to lose, and I think that's, you know, from a competitive perspective, that's somewhat problematic when you have one organization that is so far ahead of everyone else. You know, I think it reinforces the kind of behaviors that we're seeing here, allows people to get away with things they wouldn't otherwise get away with. And I think, frankly, a healthier ecosystem is a little bit better balanced than what we're seeing now.
Carmi, I want to thank you for joining us on the program today.
So great being here, Mike. Really appreciate it.
We've got a secret word for you if you want extra entries or ballots into the Telus Health My Pets app contest, giving away an iPhone 15 and an Xbox. Pretty cool. The secret word this week, Siamese, on that whole pet theme. And don't forget to enter the Telus Smart Home Security Contest as well. We're just getting that up and rolling now. Very excited to launch that with the Telus Home Security folks. A really great home security package. You can find out more information up on the website, getconnectedmedia.com. And yeah, we're giving away a really great home security and automation package for that as well. Want to thank all the folks that helped put the program together, and Carmi Levy for joining me. We'll see you again next time.